Nobody ever minded, except one of the hired men who lost half an ear to a family of mice who nibbled it off one time my grandpa didn't push those tubifores all the way closed. Of course, in those days, we had real winters. You could do that back then. These pussy winters we get nowadays, it don't hardly get cold enough.
No?
Asked Shadow. He was playing straight man and enjoying it enormously.
Not since the winter of 49, and you'd be too young to remember that one. That was a winter. I see you bought yourself a vehicle.
Yep. What do you think?
Truth to tell, I never liked that Gunther boy. I had a trout stream down in the woods away, on back of my property, way back. Well, it's town land, but I'd put down stones in the river, made little pools and places where the trout liked to live. Caught me some beauties, too. One fella must have been pretty much 30 inches long, and that little Gunther so-and-so, he kicked down each of the pools and threatened to report me to the DNR. Now he's in Green Bay, and soon enough he'll be back here. If there were any justice in the world, he'd have gone off into the world as a winter runaway. But nope, sticks like a cucklebird to a woolen vest.
He began to arrange the contents of Shadow's welcome basket on the counter.
This is Catherine Powdermaker's crabapple jelly. She's been giving me a pot for Christmas for longer than you've been alive, and the sad truth is, I've never opened a one. They're down in my basement, 40, 50 pots. Maybe I'll open one and discover that I like the stuff. Meantime, here's a pot for you. Maybe you'll like it.
Shadow put the jar away in the fridge along with the other presents that Hinzelman had brought him.
What's this?
He asked, holding up a tall, unlabeled bottle filled with a greenish buttery substance.
Olive oil. That's how it looks when it gets this cold. Don't worry, it'll cook up fine.
Okay. What are winter runaways?
The old man pushed his woolen cap above his ears, rubbed his temple with a pink forefinger.
Well, it ain't unique to Lakeside. We're a good town, better than most, but we're not perfect. Some winters, well, maybe a kid gets a bit stir-crazy when it gets so cold that you can't go out, and the snow's so dry that you can't make so much as a snowball without it crumbling away.
They run off?
The old man nodded gravely.
I blame the television, showing all the kids things they'll never have. Dallas and Dynasty and Beverly Hills and Hawaii 5-0, all that nonsense. I've not had a television since the fall of 83, except for a black and white set I keep in the closet for if folk come in from out of town and there's a big game on.
Can I get you anything, Hinzelman?
Not coffee. Gives me heartburn. Just water.
Hinzelman shook his head.
Biggest problem in this part of the world is poverty. Not the poverty we had in the Depression, but something more in, what's the word, means it creeps in at the edges, like cockroaches.
Insidious?
Yeah, insidious. Logging's dead. Mining's dead. Tourists don't drive further north than the Dells, except for a handful of hunters and some kids going to camp on the lakes, and they aren't spending their money in the towns.
Lakeside seems kind of prosperous, though.
The old man's blue eyes blinked.
And believe me, it takes a lot of work. Hard work. But this is a good town, and all the work all the people here put into it is worthwhile. Not that my family weren't poor as kids. Ask me how poor we was as kids.
Shadow put on his straight man face and said,
How poor were you as kids, Mr. Hinzelman?
Just Hinzelman, Mike. We were so poor that we couldn't afford a fire. Come New Year's Eve, my father would suck on a peppermint, and us kids, we'd stand around with our hands outstretched, basking in the glow.
Shadow made a rimshot noise. Hinzelman put on his ski mask and did up his huge plaid coat, pulled out his car keys from his pocket, and then, last of all, pulled on his great gloves.
You get too bored up here. You just come down to the store and ask for me. I'll show you my collection of hand-tied fishing flies. Bore you so much that getting back here will be a relief.
I'll do that. How's Tessie?
Hibernating. She'll be out in the spring. You take care now, Mr. Ainsel.
And he closed the door behind him as he left. The apartment grew ever colder. Shadow put on his coat and his gloves. Then he put on his boots. He could hardly see through the windows now for the ice on the inside of the panes, which turned the view of the lake into an abstract image. His breath was clouding in the air. He went out of his apartment onto the wooden deck and knocked on the door next door. He heard a woman's voice shouting at someone to,
"For heaven's sake, shut up and turn that television down!"
A kid, he thought. Adults don't shout like that at other adults, not with that tone in their voice. The door opened and a tired woman with very long, very black hair was staring at him warily.
"Yes?"
"How do you do, ma'am? I'm Mike Ainslow. I'm your next-door neighbor."
Her expression did not change, not by a hair.
"Yes?"
"Ma'am, it's freezing in my apartment. There's a little heat coming out of the grate, but it's not warming the place up. Not at all."
She looked him up and down, then a ghost of a smile touched the edges of her lips, and she said,
"Come in, then. If you don't, there'll be no heat in here either."
He stepped inside her apartment. Plastic multicolored toys were strewn all over the floor. There were small heaps of torn Christmas wrapping paper by the wall. A small boy sat inches away from the television set, a video of the Disney Hercules playing, an animated satyr stomping and shouting his way across the screen. Shadow kept his back to the TV set.
"Okay, this is what you do. First, you seal the windows. You can buy the stuff down at Henning's. It's just like saran wrap, but for windows. Tape it to the windows, then if you want to get fancy, you run a blow dryer on it. It stays there the whole winter. That stops the heat leaving through the windows. Then you buy a space heater or two. The building's furnace is old, and it can't cope with the real cold. We've had some easy winters recently. I suppose we should be grateful."
Then she put out her hand.
"Marguerite Olsen."
"Good to meet you,"
said Shadow. He pulled off a glove, and they shook hands.
"You know, ma'am, I'd always thought of Olsen's as being blonder than you."
"My ex-husband was as blonde as they came. Pink and blonde. Couldn't tan at gunpoint."
"Missy Gunther told me you write for the local paper."
"Missy Gunther tells everybody everything. I don't see why we need a local paper with Missy Gunther around." "Yes, some news reporting here and there, but my editor writes most of the news. I write the nature column, the gardening column, an opinion column every Sunday, and the news from the community column, which tells in mind-numbing detail who went to dinner with who for 15 miles around. Or is that whom?"
"Whom?"
said Shadow, before he could stop himself.
"It's the objective case."
She looked at him with her black eyes, and Shadow experienced a moment of pure déjà vu.
"I've been here before,"
he thought.
"No, she reminds me of someone."
"Anyway, that's how you heat up your apartment."
"Thank you. When it's warm, you and your little one must come over."
"His name's Leon. Good meeting you, Mr.,
Ainsel. Mike Ainsel."
"And what sort of a name is Ainsel?"
Shadow had no idea.
"My name, I'm afraid I was never very interested in family history."
"Norwegian, maybe?"
"We were never close."
Then he remembered Uncle Emerson Borson and added,
"On that side, anyway."
By the time that Mr. Wednesday arrived, Shadow had put clear plastic sheeting across all the windows and had one space heater running in the main room and one in the bedroom at the back. It was practically cozy.
"What the hell is that purple piece of shit you're driving?"
asked Wednesday by way of greeting.
"Well, you drove off with my white piece of shit. Where is it, by the way?"
"I traded it in Duluth. You can't be too careful. Don't worry, you'll get your share when all this is done."
"What am I doing here? In Lakeside, I mean. Not in the world."
Wednesday smiled his smile, the one that made Shadow want to hit him.
"You're living here because it's the last place they'll look for you. I can keep you out of sight here."
"By they, you mean the Black Hats?"
"Exactly. I'm afraid the house on the Rock is now out of bounds. It's a little difficult, but we'll cope. Now it's just stamping our feet and flag-waving, caracol and saunter until the action starts. A little later than any of us expected. I think they'll hold off until spring. Nothing big can happen until then."
"How come?"
"Because they may babble on about micro-milliseconds and virtual worlds and paradigm shifts and what have you, but they still inhabit this planet and are still bound by the cycle of the year. These are the dead months. A victory in these months is a dead victory.